Hello and welcome back to the Grace Fields Wife podcast. I'm your host, Beatrice Vargas. And this week, I'm so excited to talk to you about how to create healthy boundaries in marriage. So often I get these questions from my clients or from you. And the question will be something like, how can I get my husband to? Or another great one that I got was, am I just being a doormat?
I'm really any of those things,
or maybe even write a review.
All those things are really the best way that you can thank me, and it helps the show to get found by other amazing women just like you.
I love you, and I'll see you on Tuesday for another episode of the Grace Fields Wife. Strength in your marriage, I think, is going to be such an important conversation. Let's jump right into it.
Are you sitting in a marriage that feels empty, struggling to connect with your husband? Maybe you're telling yourself you're just sticking it out for the kids, and what really keeps you in the marriage is God. If this is you, I've been there. My story is your story. I want to help you reconnect in marriage and feel cherished again. Hey, I'm Beatrice, a Jesus-loving wife and mom. I've been married for 15 years, but for the past 10, I've actually had the affectionate and connected marriage I've always dreamed of. What happened the first 5 years? Well, I was busy telling my husband all the things he was doing wrong, like how he needed Jesus and he needed to make me happy. We tried marriage counseling, small groups, all the things we were told that would make our marriage better. Nothing worked, and we separated. How did I turn it around? Well, that's what you'll learn in this podcast. Proven skills to communicate better, create more intimacy, and be a grace-fueled wife. So if you're ready to finally communicate effectively with your husband so you can stop fighting and be on the same team again, this podcast is for you. Now grab that journal and let's jump right in.
I want to start this episode off with a little story. So my listener, we'll call her Ella. Her and I were chatting about some of the value that she's found in the podcast, what kind of episodes she enjoys, why sometimes she might skip around to different types of titles on the podcast. And one of the things we realized is that Ella has a loving and happy marriage. And the reason why this came up is because Ella is one of these listeners who said, hey, how do I get my husband to? We have all these great things, and there's just this one thing that I wish he would do more of. So how do I get him to do this? And Ella and I went and had a whole conversation about that. And as you'll see, as we go on in the rest of the episode and we talk about boundaries, you'll get an idea of some of the things that her and I talked about during that conversation. But here's the thing for Ella. Ella and her marriage is not necessarily suited for the group coaching that I have, but what Ella's marriage is perfectly suited for is the marriage lab. And that's because Ella and her husband are both actively working on their marriage. They love each other. There really is a lot of connection there already. And she's really just looking to take it up a notch. So when she listens to the podcast, she's listening to an episode like this, maybe that is talking about boundaries, because for her, that's something that is meaningful, but it's not something that Ella and I probably will ever work together one-on-one or in group coaching. And so what do I have for listeners like Ella? What do I have for them who really want to go deeper in their marriage, but don't necessarily need the kind of intense help that I help with in either in the group coaching or my one-on-one? So for them, we have the Marriage Lab, and that is why I have partnered with my friends at ReStory Counseling. This is for couples who generally have a healthy marriage and are just looking to strengthen it. So this is not going to be for anyone who is walking through separation at this time, or maybe someone where you guys are really just disengaged and not speaking. This is a more advanced level, a graduate level type thing. It is called the Marriage Lab, and that is through ReStory, that's R-E-Story Counseling. I love the program that they have created. So I've partnered with them as they are opening enrollment for their 2024 cohort. So what does that mean? It means this is the only time that you can join this year. Then the doors will close on April 7th and will not reopen again until next year. So if this sounds like you, check out ReStory, that's ReStory.life/thrive. So that's ReStory.life/thrive. And if you enter GFW, that's for Grace Fuels Wife, if you enter GFW in the coupon code, you will get $20 off towards your monthly membership. So this is, again, going to be graduate level. Maybe some of my previous students that have graduated and found healing and have restored marriages, or some of my maybe more casual listeners who really listen for the great content that I give you, but haven't signed up to work with me yet because both you and your husband are really more an engaged place and you are able to handle something for your marriage where you're both showing up for it. So check it out. That's the Thrive Marriage Lab by ReStory Counseling. All right. So in this episode, I'm going to go through a few laws around boundaries. Now, I think it sounds kind of weird, laws around boundaries, but this can actually be found in the book Boundaries in Marriage by Dr. Henry Cloud and John Townsend, which I love, love this book. It's like, I find it to be required reading for my course. I'm about to start sending students like a copy of it in the mail once they buy the course, because I really think that you can't have one without the other. And I think boundaries happens to be the missing piece of the love and grace and all that that I teach that I find a lot of other coaches are missing. So either they will teach healthy boundaries without that component of Christ-like love and grace and that component of what it means to be a good wife, or they'll teach all about being a good wife, and they'll want you to feel empowered to be a great wife, and they'll give you all these great tips, but they're actually missing some of the very important pieces of boundaries. So I'll give you a few. The book actually has 10 laws of boundaries, and I'm not going to go into all of them, but I will go into the 5 of them that I think are really, really important. Number one is understanding that we reap what we sow. This is a concept that comes from the Bible. So we have the law of sowing and reaping. We can understand pretty well that we reap what we sow. But what does this mean when it comes to boundaries? When it comes to boundaries, it means that our actions have consequences. That also means that your spouse's actions should have consequences. So I'll give you a little example, tell you a little story. I had one of my clients who separated, and her husband was kind of coming in and out of her life whenever he felt like it, and really with no repercussion. There was no consequences with him. She was so happy to see him whenever he would come around that she would be open arms, and she was like super sweet and kind to him. And she was so loving, and she was definitely not the type of client that I had to stop her and say, oh, could we just be a little nicer? This was one where I had to be like, Honey, we need some boundaries. This man needs to have some consequences. He has to understand what it feels like to not have you in his life for a little bit. Because if you just keep letting him come back at will, you're never going to get anywhere. He's never going to be able to even have time to miss you. And so there was something we worked on. Obviously, this is not all done in one session. This is something we had worked on over a series of weeks. Because at first she wasn't even ready to hear that. But she started to realize as we continued to work together that, yeah, he does need to have consequences. And here's the thing, it's because consequences help our spouse to grow up a little bit, even with boundaries for our children. If my son is misbehaving, then there has to be consequences for his actions. If he misuses his devices, his iPad or whatever, there's going to be consequences. Usually that consequence is it gets taken away, or he gets screen time taken away or something like that. But that helps him to understand what the boundaries I have set around the screen time. So for my client, it's helping her husband to understand the boundaries that she had set for how she was going to be communicated with, because before that, there were no boundaries. It was completely open. Number two, we have the law of responsibility, is that we can be responsible in marriage. We can be responsible to each other, but not for each other. What does this mean? It means that, you know, when we make vows, we're saying to our husband, yes, I vow to honor you, love you, cherish you. That is our responsibility to each other, but not the responsibility to carry your burdens. So yes, it says in the Bible that we're supposed to help each other in carrying our burdens. And that surely is true. If there's something going on that's really stressing me out, my husband will come in and he will help me to shoulder that load. But ultimately, the things that are my own responsibilities are the things that are my own responsibilities. He can't take all of that on him, and vice versa. I can't take all of his responsibilities on myself. I can't take on his responsibilities to be a dad. They're just not meant for me. That would be carrying a burden that I was never meant to carry. And just in the same way, he can't take on the responsibility of being mom, because that's not who he is. He's dad. He is going to treat my children differently. He's going to have different perspectives. In our marriage, we have different roles that we have agreed to, that we've decided one person may make more money than the other, and that's okay. And we've decided how we're going to divvy up that responsibility. So that means that the other person picks up maybe the other half of the responsibilities, and that's how we share the load. But we can't take all the responsibility for one person. And number three, we have the law of power. So the law of power is that question that I asked at the top of the episode, how can I get my husband to? So what the law of power says is that we have no power over the attitudes and actions of other people. So we talk about this a lot. Everybody knows I say this all the time. We can't change our husband. We can only change ourselves. And that is a direct component. Like, that is a direct result of the law of power, because we don't have any power to change our husband's attitudes or his actions. We can only change our own. So the question, how can I get my spouse to? That means that we have a boundaries problem. That means that you have a problem with the law of power. So how do we fix this? We actually fix this by understanding that we have the power to start to identify ways that we're either actively or passively contributing to the problem. Now, I know this might sound crazy. What are you talking about? He's the one that doesn't help me around the house. He's the one that's this. He's the one that's that. Okay. There's always something that we are contributing. So in this case, what are we contributing? Are we sowing and reaping? Has there been consequences for his actions? Are we expecting him to take all of our responsibility? What is it? And, you know, it could be parts of the other laws that we're going to talk about, but there's always something. And we should always look at this in terms of understanding what we can do and how we can contribute to the problem. Now, I was about to say, you know, this doesn't apply in cases of abuse and all that, but in this case, what I would say is, even if you find yourself in an abusive or emotionally destructive marriage, the power that you have, and you might not feel like it, but the power that you have is to get yourself safe, is to go, is to remove yourself from the situation. And I understand that doesn't always work for everybody. You might not be able to finance this, all kinds of things of that nature. And so what you have the power to do is look for free resources that will help you to create a safety plan, because a safety plan is going to be a way that you can help get yourself out and get yourself safe. And again, it might not even be actual domestic violence, but it could just be that you're living with a narcissist and want to get away from him. These are things that are in your power to do. They might be scary. They might not be easy, but there's certainly things that are within your power to do. So while I would never say that anyone is contributing to their own abuse and that there's never any excuse for it, in every instance, for everything that happens, we do have some sort of power. And I say that because I want to give you back your power. If we're doing this, it means that we've given up our power. We've given up our power to our husband. We've given him way too much power. And so whatever this looks like for you, I want you to take some of that power back. and understand what is it that you have in your power to do. And once we can clearly understand what we do have in our power to do, we realize we might not be so helpless as we thought. Because this idea of how can I get my spouse to, it feels helpless. It feels like I've heard, how can I get my spouse to help me more around the house? He's just hanging around playing video games, or he doesn't want to grow mentally with me, right? So the law of power applies in these situations because there is actually nothing that you can do to get your spouse to do the thing, but there are things that you can do on your own. So we talk about this as another way that we talk about this is keeping your eyes on your own paper. We keep our eyes on our own paper and we look at boundaries. Another way we can look at it is that boundaries is a property line. And I feel like I talk about this so much, and I don't know if it's that I talk about it on the podcast or I talk about it in group coaching, but essentially your boundaries are your property line. That is what is on your paper. So we can control what goes on within our property line, what goes on within our fences. Outside the fence, we can't control. So outside the fence, that's the external. But our own attitudes, our own actions, those things we can control. So that's the law of power. Number four, we have the law of respect. Now, the law of respect is kind of hard because, of course, we want to and deserve to be respected. But what it means is that other people need to be respected as well. So it means that if we want other people to respect our boundary, we need to respect theirs. So what that looks like is, let's say for your spouse, let's say he gets angry at something and you're upset that he gets angry. How dare he get angry that I asked him to help me? Following the law of respect would let us know that we can't dictate whether or not he's going to be angry. He has the right to protest. He has the right to say something he doesn't like. However, we can turn it around and say something like, well, the way that you freak out, the way that you yell at me, the way that you rage at me, that's unacceptable to me. So if you don't find another way to express your anger, then I'm going to have to distance myself. And whatever that means, I'm going to go to the other room. I'm going to sleep on the couch. I'm going to go to my parents' house, whatever that is. But you have that right. It means that you're respecting his right to be angry. You want to be angry? You can be angry. No problem. It's how you express this anger to me that I have control over. Or I have control over not how he expresses it, but you have control over your actions and how you respond to his actions. And lastly, we call the law of motivation. But the law of motivation is means that you have to feel free to say no in order to really fully be able to say yes. So what does this look like? This is like when we do something because we feel we have to, you know, when someone guilts you into something and you're like, ugh, I really don't want to do this, but I have to because if I don't, then they're going to get all. And I just don't want to deal with the complaining and the this and the that, or I don't want to deal with his attitude, or I don't want to deal with whatever. Understanding that if either you or him doesn't fully feel like they can say no, then we can't really say yes. And what does this mean? It means that you're saying yes out of fear. So you're saying yes, or he's saying yes out of fear because he is afraid of what? He's afraid of maybe being alone, or being someone being angry, or maybe feeling guilty, or maybe hurting someone's feelings, or just being a bad person. So that fear basically is taking away our free will. But not even God takes away our free will. In fact, the Bible says that perfect love drives out all fear. So with our free will, we are then allowed to choose love. We are allowed to choose the loving action, because how meaningless is it if we're doing something because we're forced to? This question comes up a lot when people say, well, why does God allow evil in the world? And it's like, well, he doesn't necessarily allow evil, but he allows us our free will. And we choose, or some people choose, to do things that are evil. It's not that he would want that for us, but he loves us so much that he wants us to be able to choose love. He wants us to be able to choose the graceful, action to choose forgiveness. These are not things that we are forced to do. So law of motivation, when it comes to boundaries, is the same thing. Both you and your spouse, you both have to feel free to choose the thing. And then when you do, that makes it so much more meaningful. Again, this talks to the idea of keeping your eyes on your own paper. Okay, if you don't want to do this, it's fine. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to get upset. I mean, you might get upset, but they have to understand that it is okay to say no. Or here, another great example that happens in marriage is the in-law's house. Husband doesn't want to go to the in-law's house. Oh, we're going to my parents again. Ugh, I don't really want to go to this thing. But if I say no, you're going to be mad at me. So one of the ways that my husband and I have worked through that is if it's important to me, if it's an important event and I want him to be there, I will say so. I'll say, this is really important to me. I really would like for you to be there. I want the family to be together. And that's totally fine. And he doesn't give me a problem with going. But there's other times where I'm like, you are going to be bored out of your mind at this family function or this thing or whatever. Why don't you stay home and just hang out and rest? Or I'll say, you know what? You don't have to go. I'm really not going to be upset. I'll tell you right now, I'm sure you're going to be bored. It won't upset me in the least if you decide not to come. If you do want to come, that's great. We'll make an afternoon of it. Maybe we'll stop and have some lunch on the way. But I totally get it. It's not a problem if you don't come. I'll take the kids, you know. And by doing that, by giving him the freedom to choose, sometimes he does go with me and sometimes he doesn't. But I don't have to feel like, oh, he's just here because I'm forcing him to be there. I know that he's there and he made the choice to be there. And he might actually say to me, okay, I'll go, but we have to leave by this time. Or I'll go, but please don't give me a hard time at, you know, when it gets to the time that we agreed upon to leave and you're still chatting over a cup of coffee. And I'll say, okay. And so we make a mutual agreement that we're going to leave at a certain time. And that's kind of how we work around this idea of the law of motivation, because he knows that he's free to say no. And I know that I'm free to say no about something else on my part. Maybe I don't want to leave. Maybe he'll say something like, oh, we'll go, but I'm only going to stay an hour. Well, I'm free to say that doesn't work for me. It's an hour and a half drive. So that's not going to work. If that's the case, don't worry about it. Just stay home. But it's a conversation that we can have clearly, that we can talk about ahead of time. And it really helps to build as you start to implement each of these things or really understand the meaning of each of these little laws. It helps your marriage to be healthy. And really helps for the both of you to take accountability. And if you heard last week's episode, you'll know that taking accountability for your actions is one of the things that helps to reduce criticism and contempt in a marriage. And so taking accountability is going to be so important, which is why I wanted to talk to you today about some of the things that we can do to create healthy boundaries. So I hope this was helpful to you guys. Let's talk about this a little bit more. In what ways have you struggled creating boundaries in your marriage? Has any of this resonated with you? Are there any specific questions that you might have in terms of creating healthy boundaries in your marriage? Love you guys, and until next week. Hey, love, I hope you enjoyed that episode. If you found any value in it, any teaching, any transformation, I encourage you to share it with a friend. Click the link, go ahead and share it with a friend, text it to somebody, share it on Instagram, tag me at The Grace Fueled Wife.